Off the Ball, GAA.
Davey Burke coming out after a game and making comments like that, I'm not sure how exactly helpful it is to his team, but maybe he's trying to get a message across to them that, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been good enough.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome to Thursday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. On the way, Leinster tie down Orgy Snyman to another season. Stuart McCloskey reaches a huge milestone for Ulster, and Andy Farrell hasn't closed the door on potentially picking his son for this summer's Lions tour. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, Orgy Snyman has ended speculation regarding his future by signing a new contract at Leinster. The Towering Lock has committed to at least one more season with the province. Snyman has started half of the 14 games in which he's been involved following his move from Munster, with the talk being that a proviso of that move is that he only starts when Joe McCarthy and James Ryan are unavailable. Leinster have never confirmed such a clause, however. Also putting pen to paper at Leinster today is Charlie Tector. Having been curtailed to one substitute appearance last season, the 23-year-old centre has started 6 out of 8 games this season, scoring tries in 3 of his last 4 appearances. Head coach Leo Cullen says his overseas contingent of Snyman, Rabah Slimani and Jordy Barrett have had a massive impact on the younger players with whom they share positions.
So the younger guys, you know, if you think Hugh Cooney, academy player, with Jordy, you know, Charlie Tector and some of the games they played together, you know, you think the try that Charlie Tector scored against Connacht, you know, again, that was a huge game for us where a lot of the international guys have come back post 4 tests in the 2 Champions Cup games, and then you're left with a group that, you know, with some younger academy guys come up against Connacht, obviously be able to manage their squad the previous couple of weeks. So anyway, so they've been invaluable in those weekends. And again, I'll probably go back to your point, Dave, around where we have got ourselves to in the league. Some of those games have been vitally important, and the role that they have played in helping some of those younger guys along. So it's pleasing from that regard. And now you want to just be able to see those guys add on the big days as well, which is comes to the playoff games as well. So because ultimately, like when you know, I wind the clock back, listen, it's what, probably 18 months probably at this point, maybe 15 months when I'm talking to Jordy first about the possibility of coming over here. But they want to be involved in the big days. You know, you think Crow Park and Harlequins, and again, hopefully we get the supporters to buy into that, because listen, there, you know, if you're watching, you know, a Champions Cup knockout game and you're sitting in wherever, Wellington, where Jordy would have been probably, you want to make that day special. But that's just not about the team, it's about the province turning out there. So again, hopefully we'll have a big crowd in Croke Park, and we'll see Jordy and Orgy and Robin, whoever else.
Stuart McCloskey will make his 200th appearance for Ulster in Friday night's URC fixture with the DHL Stormers. Rob Balakoon will also make his first appearance of the season after enduring a long nightmare with a hamstring injury. In further good news for head coach Richie Murphy, he's also able to parachute fit again front rows Andrew Warwick and Tom O'Toole back into the side. And McCloskey spoke about his landmark with his Ulster colleague John Cooney.
Okay, so a massive congratulations tomorrow, you're making your 200 cap. Over 11 years, is it?
11 years since first game, and probably 13 years since I started here in the academy.
Brilliant. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about tomorrow night?
Excited. Yeah, no. No, it'll be nice to get out there. The two boys are looking forward to getting out in the pitch before. But no, it's just another game, really. Looking forward to hopefully getting another win, guess 3 in a row, hopefully.
So you're going to have your family there. You're going to have Arlo and Casper coming out with you. Does that make it that little bit more special, knowing that you have your kids with you?
Yeah, you wanted to come with me. We were just going to hold your hand, but...
I'm about their height, anyway.
Didn't let me, unfortunately. But yeah, no, it makes it special. Whole family's coming. Hannah's family's coming. So, it's nice for them to all come here and hopefully get a nice picture after.
So we're going to run it back. We're going to go back to the start. Hadn't heard of you, to be honest. You came out of nowhere. You scored an unbelievable try against Ospreys. Was that when you started believing that you could move on to bigger and better things?
I don't know. It all sort of happened. You know yourself. It happens so quickly sometimes. You don't really know you're in the moment until afterwards and you look back. But, that season was probably a breakout year. It was 2015-2016 year, or 2014-15. Yeah, it's hard to remember. It's been so many. But, probably realised that's her year that I would be able to play at this level.
So Ulster will have Michael Lowry moving to fullback this week. On the right wing, it's Rob Balakoon. On the left, it's Jacob Stockdale. And in the centre, James Hume is partnered by the anniversary boy, McCloskey. And out half is Jack Murphy this week. John Cooney will start at scrum half. In the front row, it's Andrew Warwick, Rob Herring and Tom O'Toole. Behind them, captain Alan O'Connor and Kieran Treadwell. And a back row then of Matty Ray, Nick Timoney and David McCann. On the bench for Ulster will be Tom Stewart, Callum Reid, Scott Wilson, Harry Sheridan, James McNabney, Nathan Doak, Ben Carson and Zach Ward. The Stormers will have Damian Willemse start at full-back. Ben Loader and Leolin Zass are on the wings. Suleiman Hartzenberg and Dan Duplessis are in the centre. Sasha Feinberg and Gomezulu is at out half and Devolt Devanaga is at scrum half. They'll have a front row of Ali Vermark, Joseph Dweba and Captain Neithling Fouché. Connor Evans and Ruben Van Heerden are in the second row and a back row for the Stormers of Dave Ewers, Marcel Thunesson and Evan Roos.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Owen. It's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Holanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda. See.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Divert it on Off the Ball.
Andy Farrell has not ruled out selecting his son for the upcoming Lions Tour of Australia. Owen Farrell is one of a number of English players currently plying their trade in France's top couturiers, ruling them out of England's selection, along with Kyle Sinclair, Courtney Laws and Jack Willis. Scotland fullback Blair Kinghorn is another currently working in France, although he's still been picked by his country. If selected, Kinghorn and Sinclair could miss the start of that Lions Tour, with their respective clubs likely being involved in the top couturiers playoffs. Farrell, though, says he remains open-minded about selection, but concedes competition in certain places will be huge.
When we select the squad, we're going to have a hell of a squad, and there's going to be great players that are going to miss out, and you know you're going to feel for them. But then the work just starts. Then we see where the real competition is. You know, who's going to step up to the plate when they put the shirt on, when they get the chance, etc. The competition that's going to go throughout the squad whilst on tour is what I'm really looking forward to. The best dynamic of a Lions tour, from my memory of 2013, was nothing but the fans. How they took over a city from Thursday onwards. They might have been in the Barrier Reef, they might have been on Bondi Beach or whatever, but taking over a city for the first test in Brisbane, second test in Melbourne, third test back in Sydney, is a memory that will live with me forever. Just the cohesion and the camaraderie of the four nations coming together is what's special about rugby in general.
Another man hoping to be on that plane is Leinster and Ireland centre Robbie Henshaw. Speaking to Owen on Off the Ball, Henshaw has been addressing the areas where Ireland fell short in their defeat to France during the Six Nations.
Yeah, I suppose the power game that France bring and the physicality, the power up front, you have to be on your game, your A game to match them. I think for the last two years before this game, for the last 2 years, we did match that. Looking back at the performances we produced, it's a very similar team that played against us, and we have done well to beat them, you know, 2 years previous. So I don't think there's anything fast and hard that needs to change. It's just, we just didn't match that physicality and that power like we did previously. And then we do that and take our chances. It's a different game, I think.
Because I think the idea of the power being an issue for this Ireland team overall is a bit of a misnomer at this stage, because as you say, you've beaten this team before. So why does it look like you can match power in one day and not on another day?
Yeah, it's probably an individual question. Everyone in the team has to answer themselves. But again, it's just big moments, I think, in the games, and you know, things don't go. I think having a good fast start as well is huge for big games like that. If you look at the games we beat them last year, we got a good score with pressure on them over in Marseille. We scored two tries in that first half. we're playing on top of them, playing well. It kind of just knocks them if we mimic that and we mirror that and do that in Lansdowne Road, score two tries in that first half. I think it's a different game again. So again, the pressure, you convert putting pressure into points is huge in big games, and you know, trying to get yourself away from them. But as well, you know, there's a few moving parts, not an excuse. I think James Lowe goes down in the warm up and there's a little bit of moving parts again within the team, and yeah, it's just, there was a lot going on.
There's lots more from that interview with Robbie Henshaw, which you can hear by becoming an Off the Ball member now. England fullback Ellie Kildon will earn her 50th cap in Saturday's Women's Six Nations clash with Wales at the Principality. Her replacing Emma Singh is one of 13 changes to the team that thrashed Italy 38-5 on the opening weekend. Of that team that started against the Azzurri, only back rowers Zoe Allcroft and Maddie Fionati are retained. By contrast, Wales have made just two changes, and both among their pack. Sale Loosehead Gwen Cillian Pearce replaces Maisie Davies, and behind her, Gloucester Harpery's Gwen Crabb comes in for Olaf Pearce. A record crowd for a women's rugby match in excess of 18,000 is expected in Cardiff, beating the previous record of 16,845. Jade Conkle replaces the suspended Evie Gallagher at number 8 for Scotland, and they're meeting with France in La Rochelle on Saturday. It's the only change to the team that beat Wales 24-21 at the Hive last week. With Gabrielle Vernier suspended following her red card challenge on Ireland's Eve Higgins last week, she's been replaced in the France centre by Montserrat Amede, who earns her first cap since 2018. With Nasira Conde also absent through injury, Marie Menage steps into outside centre, with Kelly Arbey earning a third cap on the wing. The other change to the France starting 15 is at hooker, where Manon Bigo comes in for the injured Agathe Socha. We'll find out the Ireland team to play Italy tomorrow. Head coach Scott Beaman has been asked what he expects of the Italians this weekend.
What do I think about the Italians? I think they're better coached than they were. They have a strong sense of purpose, as in that, like, cultural identity, what game they want to get out there. They've got a more structured version of themselves these days. Used to be quite fun watching them, as in anything could happen. Everybody had a right foot and a left foot, and we're going to try three trips each during the game. And now they've got a little bit more, not to say pragmatic, they've just got a little bit more personal and sensible with what they're trying to do. So we know we're expecting a strong box kick game. So if they're going to box kick to us, how many sort of structured box kicks games do we face? So we've been preparing ourselves for that. If we get that right, it's a source of possession, and it's in the right areas of the pitch. So I'm expecting an incredible challenge from the Italians. We've historically had a good battle with them. Our aim, as ever, our challenge is to get our best game out there. And if we do, we'll be all right. But the Italians are certainly not going to roll over and make it easy for us.
Former Ireland forward Grace Davitt was on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, saying tweaks to the attack are required against the Azzurri.
The interesting thing for me was they passed really wide. So when the ball is in the air, when I pass that ball, that allowed the French defence to come up. And we've seen at times when we pass it to the edge, there was no space for the backs. One, they were a little bit flat, but two, it just gave that ball in air, just allowed France shoot up. I've played against France, and they're probably, bar New Zealand, they're one of the hardest hitting, fastest defensive line that I've ever faced.
The wide passing, is that for you, is that overly anxious play in order to get into scoring positions quicker? That there's no need to do those wide passing?
I think if you have time, changing the point of attack is brilliant, especially against a big French team, and they were down to 14. So you're like, yeah, change the point of attack. But I think at times France were well capable of defending it, so it just put us under pressure. So at that stage, then you have to hit the likes of, you know, Eve Higgins on the hard line, hold in defenders and try and get that. Like, we have quick ruck, but we're just not getting it out there quick enough. I think at one stage it was a case of, you know, the sevens tactic, get it to Amy Lee Costigan and try and do something. But by the time she got it to her, you know, nobody had held the defence, and it's just, she was just smothered.
And there's lots more from Grace Davitt elsewhere in the OTB Rugby Feeds. That is it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby Feeds to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. I'm Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.